You're listening to Doc of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatto. The 2007 hurricane season officially begins next week on June 1st, and you might be wondering, are we in for a relatively quiet season like we had last year, or one like 2005, which brought the 1-2 punch of Katrina and Rita? And if you're a cynic, you might be asking, what's the use of predicting the hurricane season when last year's prediction was such a bust? Well, joining us now to give us his predictions for this season, tell us whether conditions are right for really severe storms, and explain why hurricane prediction is not an exact science, is my guest, Jerry Bell, the lead seasonal hurricane forecaster for the NOAA Climate Prediction Center at the National Weather Service in Camp Springs, Maryland. Well, welcome back to the program, Dr. Bell.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you, Ira.
Things getting busy for you now?
Oh, very much so. Looks like we're going to have a very active season here. We're predicting 13 to 17 named storms, of which we expect 7 to 10 to become hurricanes and 3 to 5 to become major hurricanes.
Well, you know, we sat here about a year ago and you said almost the same thing.
Yes, we did. There's a big difference this year. Since this current active hurricane era began in 1995, there have only been three seasons that were not above normal. All were El Nino years. Last year, we had a rapidly developing El Nino during the summer months that was simply not predicted. And as a result, we fortunately got a reduction in activity that we needed from these past several very heavy seasons. But this year, El Nino isn't in the cards at all. In fact, its counterpart, La Nina, is quite likely. And unfortunately, La Nina, in the presence of an active hurricane era, is known to produce very high levels of hurricane activity.
What does La Nina do to encourage or help the hurricanes develop?
La Nina acts to reduce the wind shear over the tropical Atlantic. The wind shear refers to how the winds change as you go up through the atmosphere.
Yeah.
Turns out hurricanes require that the wind shear be quite low, that the winds be relatively uniform as you go up through the atmosphere. La Nina produces that. Though already the wind shear is going to be lower because we're in this active hurricane era that's favoring reduced wind shear. So you've got a combination of climate factors that are acting together this year, whereas last year, like I said, fortunately, the El Nino came up. El Nino increases the wind shear, and it was able to at least bring the activity down into a near normal range. But we don't expect that this year.
1-800-989-8255 is our number. If you want to talk about hurricanes, we'll be answering your calls. Do you expect that people are going to be taking it seriously this year? You know, maybe they said last year, hey, you know, you guys predicted this, it didn't happen. That's always the real danger, isn't it?
The seasonal hurricane forecasts are normally highly confident forecasts. Last August was the first time we ever overpredicted the activity. And one year is different than the next. As I said, last year we failed to predict El Nino. This year El Nino is not in the cards. So it's a completely different physical situation. So there's no rational basis whatsoever for concluding that because the forecast was wrong last year, it'll be wrong this year. Generally, what we found is since we begun these hurricane outlooks in 1998 that they're highly accurate and normally highly confident forecasts.
Yeah, give us some of the clues that make you think that it's going to be overly active this year.
Well, there's three main factors. The first one is the wind and air pressure patterns that have been in place since 1995. And we know those support an active hurricane era. Even last year, although the activity was reduced, these same conditions were still in place. So last year was no indicator that this current active era has ended. In fact, this active era has not ended. These conditions, we've seen them before. We saw them in the 1950s and 60s when it was the previous active hurricane era. And we saw opposite conditions during the 70s, 80s, and early 90s, which, as you probably recall, was quite a below-normal hurricane era. The second major factor is ongoing warmer Atlantic Ocean temperatures. They've been quite warm now since 2003. Ongoing warmer water is consistent with more activity. And the third one is the possibility of a La Nina episode. But even if La Nina doesn't develop, just the ongoing active era and the warmer water is sufficient to produce a above normal season. The scary thing is that if La Nina does develop, that would increase the probabilities that the activity is going to be at the upper end of our predicted range or possibly even higher.
Mm-hmm. One of the other hurricane forecasts predicted that 6 or even 7 hurricanes would strike the U.S. coast. Can you really predict how many hurricanes are going to make landfall?
No, I don't believe the science is there to really make a specific prediction like that. For the climate conditions that are setting up now, historically, on average, 2 to 4 hurricanes have struck the United States. So it's certainly reasonable to expect 2 to 4 hurricane strikes this year. During these above normal seasons, both the East Coast and the Gulf Coast have equal probabilities of getting a hurricane, and it's very high. So if the activity does pan out, it would be reasonable to expect hurricane strikes on both coasts. But the precise number really depends on the weather patterns over the United States as the individual hurricanes are approaching, and that's just simply not predictable at these extended ranges.
1-800-989-8255 is our number. How have you guys at NOAA fared since Katrina? Have you had an increase in muscle power or funding or any other kind of lack that you might have had pre-Katrina?
Well, I'm not really involved in the funding. I'm a research scientist and a hurricane forecaster.
Are you getting everything you need?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We are more than, sufficiently funded to produce these forecasts. Anything I say I need, we get. So it's great, and that's consistent with, NOAA has been very involved with these seasonal hurricane outlooks since we began them back in 1998, and you can see from the press conference the other day, we had, people from cabinet level down to the head of FEMA, to the head of the Hurricane Center, to the head of NOAA, down to the forecaster. So these forecasts are taken very seriously by all levels of government because we all understand how important they are. And people need to understand this as well. These forecasts should be people's cue to say, hey, the hurricane season's coming. I need to start thinking about my preparedness plan. Because we see time and time again, those that have prepared, if a hurricane strikes, they fare much better than those who have not. So this should be people's cue along the coastline. Start getting prepared.
Get out the plywood, the spare water, an escape route, things like that.
That's right. And other things, just simply as having a logical plan written down so that in an emergency you don't have to try and do panic thinking and think, what do I do? Have it written down so that you can just read right off the list that you've developed, over a period of time in a calm, thoughtful fashion.
Yeah, the week of the hurricane is not the time to buy those batteries for the flashlight.
No, it is not. Yeah. And there's things that there's incredible amount of information out there now. NOAA's website, the Hurricane Center, Weather Service, the Red Cross, FEMA all have excellent sites on what things you can do to prepare, not only as an individual, but if you are like a small business person or somebody like that, things that you can do now to start preparing. Mm-hmm. A very simple thing is to get your papers in order, for the deed to your house, your Social Security card, identifications, those types of very important personal papers, so that if you do need to evacuate, you can just grab them and go. What we found during Hurricane Katrina was, a lot of devastation, and a lot of people no longer have identity. They no longer have proof of ownership of whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Carlton in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hi, Carlton.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I experienced Hurricane Katrina down, Hurricane Hugo in Charleston, South Carolina back in 1989. And as I listened to recent reports, I wonder why they never really referenced that storm being one of the major modern times, one of the major storms that kind of really caused so much devastation.
Mm-hmm. Jerry?
Well, Hurricane Hugo was certainly a big storm, and we had tremendous flooding in the Carolinas as a result of Hugo. The state, in fact, I wound up briefing some congressmen down there about that, and even at that time was indicating that, we're in an active hurricane era and that this is certainly, typical of the things we can expect to see. I think Katrina is more recently on our minds because of just the entire devastation of New Orleans. But Hugo, from a meteorological perspective, and I think from the response, is certainly not considered a small event.
Thanks for calling, Carlton.
Thank you.
Have a good weekend. 1-800-989-8255. Marianne in Alexandria, Virginia.
Hi.
Hi there.
Also, thanks for taking my call. The question that I have is, was the crazy hurricane season we had in 2005 due to a La Nina, or was there something else at work there?
The record 2005 season was a combination of factors. The first one, again, the ongoing active era that sets up the overall wind and air pressure and ocean temperature patterns and therefore predisposes you to an above-normal season. So that was the background conditions. The second thing was a La Nina-like, although we had weak La Nina conditions, the important thing was that the La Nina-like forcing was quite strong. And again, when you get that combination of La Nina and an active era, you get a lot of activity. A third factor was that the Atlantic Ocean temperatures were record warm. That was contributing to the strength. And the fourth one was the pressure patterns over the western Atlantic and southeastern U.S. We had a big, very persistent high-pressure ridge in the upper atmosphere during much of the season. And that, of course, favors low wind shear, again, very favorable. So it was really a combination of four main factors that contributed to that record season. Fortunately, we haven't seen that combination very often, but we did get it in 2005.
Thanks for calling, Marianne.
Thank you.
Let's go to Fort Lauderdale. Kate, hi, welcome.
Hi, nice to be with you, Ira.
Thank you.
Jerry, I was wondering, I live here in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and I was listening to a show with the new director of the National Weather Service and his comments on NOAA and how the satellite it needs much repair that does a lot of the forecasting. And NOAA was planning on spending, I think it was $100 million on your centennial celebration, and he was asking if they could, you know, take those funds and really do the much-needed repairs on the satellite. So do you use that as one of your important tools in forecasting?
Well, I believe the number that NOAA was spending was $4 million, but again, I'm not $100 million. That's insane.
Okay. It was some astronomical number in my idea of a government celebration, but
I'm not involved with that. I don't use the satellite per se. The satellite, let me restate this. We use the satellites very much to monitor the climate patterns and to ultimately make these seasonal hurricane predictions. The specific satellite they're referring to is one that is called has a QuickSCAT measurement device on it that allows you to get winds or something like that. I really don't use that type of thing for making the seasonal predictions. That information is mainly used by the Hurricane Center. And I'm not really able to speak on what NOAA is doing or not doing. I know they've, in hearing some conversations, that they've been aware the satellite's been going to go for many years, and they've got plans that they've developed over many, many years. But I don't know the details on that.
It may even be on its last leg, if I'm understanding correctly.
It's on backup power. It's apparently not on its last leg, but I'm not really able to speak on those issues.
Hey, we're going to look into that for you.
Okay, thanks so much.
It's just concerned to us.
Good luck in your predictions.
Thank you.
Talking with Jerry Bell this hour on Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. Talking about the upcoming hurricane. That'd be not a nice thing if you lose a satellite, is it, Jerry? You don't want to lose it. You don't want to lose a satellite.
No. We have many, many meteorological satellites up there from giving us global coverage for things like climate prediction, monitoring ocean temperatures, global climate variability, and so on. And then we have satellites that can hone right in on helping us to get the estimates of the wind speeds in and around the hurricane itself. All of these, there's a wide array of meteorological satellites that NOAA uses.
Let me go out a little further north in Florida. Let's go to Michigan. Hi, Jim in Three Rivers.
Hi. My question is, if we do have an active hurricane season, what can those of us in the lower Great Lakes expect in terms of changes in the weather? Will we see a smaller number of very large rain events during the summer, or any effect on us?
Good question.
And I'll take my answer offline. Thanks.
I don't think we can really say ahead of time whether there's going to be any changes in the weather patterns if we have more hurricanes. So I wouldn't expect much in the way of, say, changes in the normal patterns of thunderstorm activity and so on. Mm-hmm. So there's not much of a relationship between the hurricane season and weather patterns in the Midwest. However, sometimes when the flow patterns do set up, you may have a large-scale jet stream pattern that not only, let's say, may produce certain type of conditions in the Midwest, and downstream it's also affecting the hurricane activity. That's certainly, we see that type of thing, but there's too many different scenarios to really pinpoint anything at this time.
How would global warming affect the hurricane season?
Well, that's the global warming impacts. Now, for the very narrow issue of global warming impacts on Atlantic hurricanes, I don't believe that answer has been solved yet. The global warming impacts on Atlantic hurricanes, long-term trends, that's a very important issue. Another very important issue is these long-term patterns that last for 25, 35, 40 years at a time and give us these active and inactive hurricane eras. We're developing a suite of climate models right now, not only within NOAA, but the science community in general, to better handle all of these climate processes in hopes that I think one day we will be able to say, for instance, how much global warming is contributing in a given season versus these multi-decadal patterns. But I don't believe we're there yet. But they're all very important issues, and we're heavily invested in trying to answer these questions.
Jerry, as always, thank you for coming on each year and giving us the seasonal forecast.
It's a pleasure. Thank you, Ira.
Jerry Bell is the lead seasonal hurricane forecaster for NOAA's Climate Prediction Center at the National Weather Service in Camp Springs, Maryland. This program is produced by Karen Vergoth and senior producer Annette Heiss. Charles Berquist is our director. Flora Lichtman is our producer for digital media. And if speaking of digital media, surf over to our website at Science Friday. We've got a lot of it up there for you, a lot of videos and stuff that you're sending us, stuff that Flora's making, interesting stuff that changes every week. Also, Science Friday's Kids Connection is up there and active, and you can download free teaching material for your schools using Science Friday as your teaching source. Also, we're blogging and podcasting and looking for your input. You can also check out the growing presence on Facebook, Science Friday. The group is called Science Friday, the best day of the week. Have a great weekend and a safe weekend if you're leaving us. I'm Ira Flatow in New York.